Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for joining me. This is Evelyn Bowding. This week we are going to continue with the subject matter of You Too Must Be Prepared, which we started last week, and this will be part two of that. This has been a long week. There have been several things in the news that kind of captured my attention, for lack of a better word or better phrase there. And so I was, all during this week, my mind was all jumbled up with how to incorporate some of the things that I heard and that I saw into this message of You Too Must Be Prepared. The thing that stood out most to me from this week was the response to the meeting that President Donald Trump had with several black preachers, and the meeting, in my opinion, was turned out to be a farce. But I asked myself, had I been in their position, would I have taken the meeting? And if I would have taken the meeting, would I have sat there and let him tell me what his agenda was, while from my response or my end, would I have heaped a lot of praise, which, again, in my opinion, was totally unnecessary on a person who has not earn that praise. I was taken aback by the one gentleman who said that, talking about President Obama, that he didn't do anything for the black community, but he has the faith and confidence that this president would. And I said, well, maybe I slept through something, maybe I missed something. And I asked myself, exactly what was it that he expected President Obama, or any president, including this one, to do for the black community? And also, how could he make this blanket statement about the confidence that he has in someone who has not showed anything, but all the evidence is to the contrary of what the hope was for. But it is my hope that those pastors were not hoping for more and more black people to die with no consequences to anyone, that black people and brown people would end up in jail with an unfair justice applied to them, for, you know, where it was based on the color of your skin, whether you got long terms or not, jail terms or not, whether you were incarcerated and died actually in custody, but there's no consequence and no, actually in a lot of the cases, no evidence of why. Is that what you hoped for your community? And what about all your children continuing on going down this pipeline to prison? Is that what you hoped for? And are you forgetting the thousands of people, of young children, separated from their parents, you know, on the guise of dealing with illegal immigrants. When it has, you know, why take the children? Why put children in cages? Why subject them to an environment that is going to emotionally cripple them for the rest of their lives? These are their formative years, and you have put them in cages. Is that what we are expecting from our president? Is this what it's all about? Is that what you call doing something good? Not just for the black community, but for all people, especially all people of color, who have to this point not been handled with a just, compassionate hand by this president and this administration. I really could not believe, I could not understand what was behind this. Why would you take the meeting? Not that you took the meeting. Why did you take the meeting? And pretty much I saw one headline that said they were cheerleaders for me. We don't need cheerleaders. Why didn't you take this opportunity since you had it? You were in the room. You were at the table. Why didn't you bring some of these tough issues, relevant issues, to the attention and say, this is what we expect. This is what we are concerned about. This is what we want for our community, and it is not happening. In fact, the direct opposite is happening. So how can you justify that? You went into a meeting with at the most powerful office in this country, yet you came with nothing, no petition for anything that would actually help improve the living conditions within your communities or the living conditions within this country. I don't understand it, very disturbed by it. And very disturbed by the continued process where basically anything goes with this administration and just by the posture of going there and basically praising and cheering him on did not help your community or your cause. It was mind-boggling. I began last week talking about I went to a scripture. Speaking of preachers, I went to a scripture talking about the 10 brides, 10 bridesmaids that went out to meet the bridegroom, 5 of them being prepared with their lamps and their oil, and 5 not prepared, not having oil for their lamps, which they would need during the night. And because they had to leave and go get some oil, they missed the opportunity to go into the wedding banquet with the bridegroom. And I equated that to being ready or not for opportunities. We use the workplace. We use full of a community that had actually prepared itself, but that community found itself destroyed by this very government. Carrying out the same type of things with the same type of mentality that our current government has. the point of the whole lesson is, it is not the responsibility of others, in the group, as with the bridesmaids. You had 10 of them. 5 were ready. The 5 that were not ready asked the 5 that were ready for some of their oil so that they too might be ready when the bridegroom came. But 5 who were ready at that point given up oil that was theirs, it would not be enough. It won't be enough for both of us, for all of us. And everybody would miss the opportunity to go into the banquet. That happens in our workplaces. That happens in our communities. And I'm going to use the Black community as an example because that's what I know. And these are things that I have not only studied, but I have lived in this environment and watched these things happen over and over again. And I have not really been successful in impressing upon the community yet, and I won't give up, of the need to anticipate some things, to see what's going on, and to read between the lines, and to see what's going on and hear what's going on, and be able to gauge the impact, the next step before it gets there. Anticipating, and once you see the possibility, you don't have to know it for that, definitely that a thing is going to happen, but if you realize that the likelihood is there that it's going to happen, and these are some steps that I can take to either prevent something from happening or to be prepared when it comes down, when it comes to fruition, be prepared to be ready to take advantage of it. As always, when I'm broadcasting live, your calls are always welcome. The number for us here, it's 929, let me get my cheat sheet here, 929-477-4087, and you are invited and welcome to call in and talk with us on the air. Not being ready. The economy is changing, and it's changing fast. We have things that are now being affected because of the position this administration has taken on trade, and there are some consequences, not all of them good, not all of them bad either, but the most part they're bad. Some, you know, things that have changed and are changing. We're on a little shaky ground in certain industries. An opportunity presents itself. Perhaps some of the jobs that left, the hope is that they will return to this country. The likelihood of that happening in any significant amount, I don't think there is. I don't think there's the incentive enough. I don't think that there is enough of a ready workforce right now in this country. But that does not prevent you from becoming ready. But right now, I don't think that there is enough ready workforce to adequately sustain all of the industries that have left. And in actuality, some of the industries didn't necessarily leave the country. They just don't exist anymore because of changes in technology. And therefore, these types of jobs are obsolete and just about gone. The few that are remaining will be around for a short while, but ultimately, technology will take those with it. There's one area, and that's the area of technology, that is still, it is the digital age is here. I mean, it's here. Everything that we do right now, I'm looking at probably about 4 different devices just to do this program, all digital. And fewer than 5% of the people in this massive workforce, this digital arena, fewer than 5% of them are African American. Now, it doesn't mean that African Americans have not prepared for it. In fact, I read somewhere that about 2.8% of the degrees, actually, before I say that, let me find it. Yes, 2.8% of black college graduates earn degrees in computer science. 2.6% of white college graduates earn degrees in computer science. But fewer than 5% of the workers in the digital workforce are African American. There is a reason for that. That reason has to be brought to surface, and it needs to be dealt with. We cannot expect that someone else will deal with that. We must do it ourselves. We must be prepared to do it. Too many, in my opinion, graduates, high school graduates, college graduates, trade school graduates, too many in the African-American community, too many of those graduates still graduate with their eyes on a job as opposed to with the eye on creating a business that provides jobs. And for that reason, there are less people of color in digital workforce. That's because people tend to hire people that look the long and short of it. And it's up to us as a people to impress upon our young people as they are going through the colleges and the trade schools, and even those coming out of high school, think a little differently. Don't let all your concentrations or all your thoughts be on getting a job. Think about creating a job. That makes perfect sense to me, creating a job. .3% of black households have computers. These tools have to be used to increase participation in opportunities related to jobs and businesses and education across the nation and across the globe. 89.3% with all these computers, and yet the literacy rate falls way behind the general population. All these computers, what are you doing with the computers? What are they being used for? Examine that within your homes, within your communities, and see if you can come to an idea about repurposing the computers, bringing them to a use that can be beyond the mere pleasure. A lot of people, you know, use them for games and playing games and, you know, entertainment, pleasure, just mere pleasure, fleeting pleasure, immediate things for the future. So I would encourage you, especially parents, to not only have your children make better use of the computers, and that, you know, that includes a lot of things. Make better use of the computers rather than purely for entertainment. The digital divide is real. African Americans are a big part of the consumer base, but on the other end, we're not there. We're consume. When you consume something, you know, that's like I was working a job once where, you know, we had all of these rules and stuff we had to follow. And one thing that I thought was kind of funny on it when I first read it had to do with the types of gifts, you know, that you could accept from the public or anyone that you come in contact with, type of gifts that you could accept. Now, you could accept consumables, something that you could eat, something that could be eaten and done away with, you could accept. Okay, so I can accept food. Why would I even want that? But anyway, that's me. We must point out and confront the divide and solve these problems. We must do this. We too must be prepared, and we are not. And the divide is growing. It's not narrowing, and that's one of the things that concerns me. We continue to ask for things that, in my opinion, we could probably provide for ourselves if we just took the opportunity to do the right thing, to look, see how and where we can make changes and deal with creating things within our own community. With the change in workforce, my tongue is tired tonight. With the change in workforce and the demographic shifts, it is essential to focus on this emerging workforce. wakes up thinking about that? Who wakes up thinking that as a demographic, things are affecting us, changes are affecting us? How can I make a difference? Where can I plug in? What can I do to affect the change for the people that will come after me? You see, that's where I am. I want to know, what can I do? And I think at this point, it's a case of bringing attention to it, that the problems exist and that a lot of the responsibility is on us. We can't wait for someone else to do it. And that's why, you know, I mean, I always read, and when I come across something and see something, I mean, it may not be anything that I can take advantage of. I'm out of the normal or the regular workforce. I spent my years, a lot of them, in the workforce, and when the opportunity came, I'm one of the fortunate ones that could actually take an early retirement, do something else. In our community, one thing is still true. A lot of our people work hard jobs, and work long, a lot of years, and we think that we're putting things back for our retirement years, and we're saving up, and we look into that day that we can draw our Social Security. And unfortunately, because of disparity in things, in health especially, a lot of us would not make it. A lot of us will not make it to draw Social Security. And even less now, if this administration gets to play the okey-doke with the Social Security system as we know it. It is up to us. We must be prepared. And they talk about systemic racism. Yes, we know it. So it's up to us. If we know that we're dealing with systemic racism, then it's up to us to figure out and to prepare for it in such a way that it is less effective on us. I came across this phrase, and I don't know where it was, because as I said, I read anything. I read a lot. And I came across this, and I wrote it down. It has to do with children. It says, speak to children as if they are the wisest, kindest, most beautiful, and magical humans on earth, for what they believe is what they will become. What they believe, it's what they will become. At the opening, I said, relate a statement by one of the preachers about what did Obama do for us. And I didn't mean this to become a political thing, but at this point, politics is so much a part of our every minute of our lives. But had he not done anything else, his election, his demeanor, the way he executed himself, the way he interacted with people of all walks of life, not to mention, you know, some of the policies, but just because he was elected and the dignity that he and his administration brought to that office, that, in my opinion, was enough when it comes to young people, because it brought with it and it gave to them hope, the audacity of hope. The one thing that is absent when you talk to a lot of people within our communities was hope. And the thing that President Obama and his administration brought not only to this country, but to the world at large, was hope. It revived hope. It says that, or signaled that this thing could happen in a country like the United States of America. There is hope. So for the young people, especially the young black and brown people, to see a president that looked like them and the way that he carried himself and the way that he dealt with people up and down the line, having the line of financial status and position, and the way he dealt with you, whether you were a man or a woman or gay or straight, hope, just to see that, gave an element of hope. And that's enough. That's enough for a lot of people. You can talk with some of the very young people and some of those that actually are now coming out of college, they will tell you that's what he gave to them, hope. And I think that he had to come before this situation that we have now, because it gives us hope that even in the face of what's going on every day in this country, all the negative stuff, even in the face of that, there is still hope, because the same type of hatred and unrest that's brewing, that same type of thing happens and has happened before in this very country, and some things more horrific in this very country. But out of that, still, change. The president and administration of under Barack Obama. If a country such as this, and this is not the first time that this country has put people into cages, interchange. I mean, just groups of people into internment camps, and not to mention the shackles and the chains of slavery. Not to mention our prison system, which was just an evolution of slavery. None of this stuff is new. There are people like myself old enough to remember. So if a country as we are found its way to be in such a position that it would have elected a president, an unlikely president, as it did with Barack Obama, then looking to that, we can still hope. We can still hope in the face of all of the turmoil that's happening right now. We still have hope because we've seen it. Had we not seen it, we wouldn't have hope. We would know that it's not too late to turn the ship around. Speak to children as if they're the wisest, kindest, most beautiful and magical humans on earth. For what they believe in, it's what they will become, and that is so true. I cringe when I hear parents yelling at their children and calling them, hurtful names when they say things like, you ain't gonna never be nothing. All of that, because what you feed into it is what he begins to believe about himself or herself, and what he ultimately becomes, not all, but the majority, become that thing that they believe. And it behooves us to encourage our children, encourage our young people. We too must be ready. We too must be ready come November 6th. Now, there are some primaries that are still going on across the country. And I vaguely remember, I don't know the details. I'll look that up for later. I saw where, I believe it was Ohio, where there were some 500,000 registered voters, but only 200,000 showed up to vote. And my thinking is, we cannot turn this ship around if the people don't show up. Don't give up. Get busy and getting the correct information to those within your reach, and get out to vote. And let November 6th be one of the biggest turnouts, the voters' turnout that we have seen in recent years in this country. That's the only way to put a stop to what's going on in this country. We are out of balance. We are out of balance. We have an entire government that is Republican run. If everything had been all Democrat, it would still been out of balance. But what we have to do is get some balance there. When things are out of balance, they turn over. They fall. And we're falling fast because there are those that sit in the House of Representatives and Senate that are accepting anything that this administration wants, and that is totally wrong. I mean, it benefits no one but them, because a lot of them are on the beneficial end of it, but it's not what is best or good for this country. And the only way, our only way to change it is to exercise the right to vote and get out and do it. And don't get apathetic and say, oh, well, they're going to do what they want to do anyway. No. If the situation is that there is an outside influence trying to interfere, vote. Still vote. Must be ready. And it's us. We've got to do it. We have to take the responsibility. It's us. It is us. Individually. Collectively. That's what will make this thing work. Is if the citizens of this United States take this and turn it around. How this got back to politics, I don't know. I've been struggling, just not to do that. And it's difficult when you know a thing or when you see a thing. It's very difficult to sometimes just pull back and not say or do anything about it. And in fact, it's not always expedient to do that. I do know that come November 6th, this house, I know, will be at the polls, and I encourage you, all of you out there, if you aren't registered to vote, go ahead and take care of it. Do it now. Do it early before the crunch time and before someone comes up with an idea of a way to prevent you from doing that. I mean, that's been going on. That's been going on a lot. You know, we've always had gerrymandering, and now we're just having out-and-out voter suppression. So go ahead and get everything that you need that will allow you to exercise your right to vote. And when we do turn this thing around and get a new Congress seated, we need to put pressure on to restore those elements of the Voting Rights Act that this system, this Congress said was no longer needed. That's not right. That's not right. Well, we can see that it's very much needed, so we need to get that restored. Again, this is Evelyn Bowden inviting you to participate when we do our live broadcasting. And we encourage you to drop us a line if you have a question or even a suggestion for a subject matter that you would like to see us discuss. Let us know. You can write me at info@evelynbowden.com or ewbowden@hotmail.com or hit me up on Facebook, Evelyn Bowden on Facebook, and messages. Send us information. Send us what you are interested in and some. And if you have questions that you would like to have answered or addressed in about any subject, we will, if we can, if that's something that we can do, we will look forward to, with joy, to handling that for you. Thank you for listening tonight. And visit Online Treasure Stores, onlinetreasurestore.com. Onlinetreasurestore.com makes this program possible. visit, and that's something while you're there. Until next time, thank you for joining me on Let's Talk with Evelyn Bowden.